This is Fenton Dunn, and you're very welcome. No corporate candy floss news, no political spin. Truth Radio by Internet. Here, the expression is still free. You're on the inside track from breakfornews.com. It's Thursday, the 16th of September at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you're very welcome to the inside track on breakfornews.com. Thanks to our sponsor, neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. This is Fenton Dunn reporting. Special report tonight, the death of politics, and I'll be getting into the details of that later on in the show. But first we'll start with latest world news, and for me, the hero of today is quite clear. And it's not First Lady Laura Bush, who made a campaign stop at a firehouse in New Jersey today. But the visit didn't go exactly as planned. Sue Sapper Niederer of Hopewell, New Jersey, was arrested after she staged a protest. She lost her son, First Lieutenant Seth Dovrin, 24, who was killed in Iraq while trying to disarm a bomb. And while Laura Bush warbled on about more tax relief for businesses, healthcare reform, and defeating terrorism, Sue Niederer was wearing a T-shirt entitled, "President Bush, You Killed My Son." And as shouts of four more years subsided towards the end of the rally, Sue, standing in the middle of the crowd of about 700, began to shout about the killing of her son. Now, politics at this point would have been a frank exchange between Sue Sapper Niederer and Laura Bush over the issue of what had happened to her son. That would have been real politics. But what happened was the Secret Service and local police dragged her out of the event, handcuffing her and putting her in the back of a police van. "Excuse me, what are you charging me with?" she asked. And that's a very fucking good question, if you'll pardon my French. Democracy is non-existent and politics is dead, folks. Sue Sapper Niederer had a ticket to the rally. She had a point of view and she was entitled to express that point of view. Instead, she was arrested. Now, some may say to me she has a vote, but I don't care what vote she's got. It doesn't matter what she can tick on a piece of paper. Democracy is freedom of expression, and freedom of expression is dead. By the way, several people in that crowd shouted back at Sue Sapper Niederer as she was arrested. One woman yelled, "Your son chose to fight in that war." Now, let me take issue with that point. I think we should have a change in the way wars are determined and the way they're fought. If a country wants to go to war, we should have a vote as to whether that country should go to war. And anybody who votes that the country should go to war should go and fucking fight. Get it? You sign on the bottom line that you want to go to war, then you go and fucking fight, and then your sons and daughters go and fucking die. Get it? That's democracy. And what I'd say to that person who shouted at Sue Niederer is, just wait till it's your son or daughter coming back in a fucking box, and then tell me how you feel about it. That's my hero of the day, Sue Sapper Niederer. Now to scum of the day. Scum of the day today is Kofi Annan. Today, Kofi Annan declared that there should have been a second follow-on resolution giving specific green light for the invasion of Iraq, which there wasn't. And in answer to a question by a BBC interviewer, he declared that the war was illegal. Well, thanks very much, Mr. Annan. That's about 50,000 lives too late that you're developing a conscience. But of course, it's got nothing to do with conscience with Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan is a toady for the elite who are running this system. And his statement today is a mere PR move designed to try and replenish the image of the United Nations. In other words, it's a cynical public relations move by Annan, and that's the second story today that indicates to me, and should indicate to you, that democracy is a farce and politics is dead. And you take a look into Kofi Annan's background, by the way, and you'll find out that he's very well connected. And our next story about the death of politics relates to a debate which took place in Australia between John Howard, current Prime Minister and a leading proponent for the war in Iraq, and the opposition leader. And the curious thing about that was that the opposition in Australia made not one single criticism of the war in Iraq. despite a lot of grandstanding, which they have done over the last 12 months or so, when it came right down to it, absolute silence on the key issues. There is no opposition. Democracy is a farce and politics is dead. And so, by the way, is the media. There is no such thing as a media anymore. There is simply propaganda and advertising. And that point is made very clear by Barry Gray, writing on the World Socialist website WSWS.org, which is yet another pseudo-opposition website, but nevertheless occasionally a little truth comes out there. And Barry says that you can stare at the 24-hour cable news networks from sunup to sundown and still get no sense of the carnage in towns and cities, from Baghdad to Fallujah to Ramadi to Hila and Tal Afar in the north. The evening news reports, he says, show fleeting images of death and destruction, inevitably hedged with absurd avowals from the US military that, quote, precision attacks were carried out against, quote, terrorist and anti-Iraqi targets. As for the press, one day's front page report of US helicopter attacks on unarmed civilians or airstrike is eclipsed the next day by the latest hurricane threat or new poll numbers on the upcoming election, an election in which no discussion of the legitimacy of the US subjugation of Iraq or the real war aims is permitted. And no country's media, he says, is more cowardly or more artful in churning out the official line and excluding any serious criticism or analysis than that of the United States of America. The only media outlet that came even close to touching on the real story of what went on in Iraq in the last few days was the Guardian newspaper out of London, which carried on Tuesday an eyewitness account on its front page of that American helicopter attack on unarmed Iraqis. 13 Iraqis were killed and dozens wounded when US helicopters repeatedly fired rockets into a crowd that had gathered around a disabled American armored vehicle. One journalist died in that attack, and Guardian columnist Gaith Abdul-Ahad was wounded in the attack. He describes that there were at least four separate rocket strikes by American helicopters against unarmed Iraqis, and he says the helicopters returned several times to fire on those seeking to remove the dead and wounded from the first missile strike. He wrote, "When I was about 50 metres away, I heard a couple of explosions and another cloud of dust arose from the street where the first column of smoke was still climbing. People started running towards me in waves. I felt uneasy and exposed in the middle of the street, but a lot of civilians were around me, and a dozen men formed a circle around five injured people, all of whom were screaming and wailing. I'd been standing there taking pictures for 2 or 3 minutes when we heard the helicopters coming back. Everyone started running, and I didn't look back to see what was happening to the injured men. Blood started dripping on my camera. A man in his 40s next to me was crying. He wasn't injured, he was just crying. The helicopters moved away, and the reporter went back onto the street to record the carnage and help the wounded and dying. More kids ventured onto the street, looking with curiosity at the dead and injured. Then someone shouted, 'Helicopters!' and we ran. I turned and saw two small helicopters, black and evil. Frightened, I ran back to my shelter, where I heard two more big explosions." Meanwhile, another Guardian correspondent reports on the recent attacks in Fallujah, quoting the director of the Fallujah Hospital, who said, "Every time we send out an ambulance, it gets targeted." Needless to say, you're not getting that kind of detail on CBS, ABC, CNN. And let me say quite frankly that what we're witnessing is nothing to do with war. This is pure, unadulterated evil masquerading under the thin veneer of a so-called moral war. Let me reiterate that what's going on in Iraq and what's going on in other locations around the world has got nothing to do with anything other than pure, unadulterated evil. And if you have any hand, act or part in supporting the evil people who are carrying out these acts, then you have got blood on your hands and you are a murderer. There's nobody getting away with anything in this evil that's going on right now. There's nobody escaping the justice of what will flow from what's going on right now. Meanwhile, another political scum was on the world stage today. Vladimir Putin, at a press conference in Astana, said it's important for us that there should be no double standards. And that's pretty rich, coming from the man who organised the mass slaughter of schoolchildren in Beslan. Putin went on to make a very telling comment. He said, "Terrorists are bandits who, under the guise of nationalist mottos, try to resolve the task that has nothing to do with what they proclaim." He's got that slightly wrong. It's the politicians, the top-ranking politicians, are the bandits who, under the guise of nationalist mottos, are resolving a task that has got nothing to do with what they proclaim. And if you don't think that this madness, this slaughter which we saw of schoolchildren in Beslan, isn't coming to Western democracies, then you're living in a fool's paradise, believe me. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many evil, self-important assholes prance around in front of television cameras, they only have legitimacy because dummies went out and marked on pieces of paper so-called votes in so-called democracy and didn't realise that politics is dead. You're on the Inside Track on breakfornews.com, and I'll be right back to elaborate further on that. And you're very welcome back to the Inside Track on breakfornews.com. Now, we're taking this news show in different directions, and our daily news and analysis coverage here on Break for News will no longer be dictated by simple knee-jerk reactions to ongoing so-called political events, because the game has become clearer and clearer and clearer as we have gone on. And the game is that these scum politicians simply divide themselves up into two groups. One of those two groups then threatens to attack you with various initiatives, proposals, etc., and the other group offers to defend you. And then after the next election, they switch around, exchange roles, and so the game goes on. Except the game is getting serious now. Large numbers of people are dying, and even larger numbers are yet to die. And if the US and international media want to play pathetically transparent games of good cop, bad cop with George Bush and John Kerry, that's fine. I'm just not interested in it. Some people have said to me, well, if we get rid of George Bush and put Kerry in instead, things will be a bit better. John Kerry. I wouldn't urinate on John Kerry. John Kerry is scum. And unless you figure that out, then you're behind the game, I'm afraid. And there is wholesale bloody murder going on right now and plenty more of it to come. And you want to make sure you're coming down on the right side of all that. It's now 3 years since 9/11 took place. And over the course of that 3 years, many people have fought hard for the truth of 9/11. And now, 3 years on, we see where we stand. Absolutely fucking nowhere. That's where we stand. we are no closer to the truth of 9/11 3 years on than on that day. And so, with the benefit of that 3 years of hindsight, it's now time that I've certainly realized, and I'm attempting to communicate that to you, that politics died around 9 a.m. on the 11th of September 2001. It has been dead since, and it will never, ever, it will never be back. Politics is finished, folks. And those of us who are left after this mayhem is over will curse the name of every politician who ever appeared on a television screen around this period. We will spit and curse when we hear their names mentioned. These people are going down with an infamy which will make Hitler look like a good guy. And by the way, we all know who was behind Hitler. These politicians are pure, unadulterated snake oil salesmen. And evil has such clever ways of hiding behind clever words. And so I'm saying to you, give it up. Forget it. It's going nowhere. None of your protest, none of your opposition, none of your leafleting, none of your marches, none of your phone-ins, none of it is going to make any difference. Because these evil bastards have a significant percentage of the population behind them. And they have a large segment of the population who couldn't be bothered getting up off their fat arses and resisting. And so therefore, this is going down. And politics is the problem. It is not now and never will be the solution. God, or the spirit of life, or whatever you want to call it, put you on this planet with authority to run your own life for yourself as soon as you are mature enough to do so. And if you walk into a polling booth and sign on a piece of paper, you hand that God-given power of yours over to somebody else. And what do they do with it? You're looking at what they do with it. You were designed to live in communities of appropriate size, locally run by the community itself, networked around the planet, not in great, big, massive, evil and debt-dealing organized societies run by political structures, which you see around you right now. And human beings are about to learn that very, very painfully indeed. Very welcome back to the Inside Track on breakfornews.com, where we're discussing the death of politics, which, if it ever had any validity in the first place, is a questionable matter, but even if it had, has been going sharply downhill for decades, and now we've reached the point where it's dead. It died around 9 a.m. on the 11th of September 2001, never ever to reappear. And what's going on has nothing to do with politics. What's going on right now has to do with spirituality. Let me come back to that. But what's going on now you can visualize in this sense. It's like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark or Return to the Lost Tomb or whichever one of those Indiana Jones movies it was, where they found the Ark of the Covenant and they all gathered around to see what it was that was inside. And when they opened the lid, something came out that devoured them all. And anyone who was at, near or around that casket was totally destroyed by what came out. That's what's going on. And you want to be far away over the spiritual horizon because the casket is opening. It's only opened a bit so far, but it's opening the rest of the way. And anyone who's around it is going to be destroyed. And I'm not talking physical destruction. I'm talking spiritual destruction. Death, believe me, is the least of your worries at this point in time.
Absolute control over every living soul.
You're on the Inside Track on breakfornews.com, and we're discussing the death of politics. Now, exactly how long it's going to take this system to go down is a matter of debate, but believe me, it's going down, and politics is going to make absolutely no difference to the outcome. I've tried the political route. Many of you, I know, have tried the political route over the last 3 years, but I have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and at this stage of the game, I realise, and I'm attempting to communicate that realisation to you, that politics is not going to solve this. And I am finished with politics. Finished with voting, finished with referendums, finished with petitions, finished with laws, finished with all the rest of the junk which comes from gathering people together in the mass numbers in which we find them gathered, so-called democracies. And I'll define democracy. Democracy is a system of oppression where the people involved are dumb enough to go into a polling booth every 4 years and agree to continue to be oppressed. And then, where evil, manipulative scum take that abrogation of personal power and use it for evil purposes. Remembering, of course, that the handing over of any of your personal power to another is in itself inherently evil. That is the original sin, so to speak. That is the act of whereby God-given personal power over your own life is handed over to others. And if you participate in that, you seed the evil. That's what democracy is. What's politics? Poly, meaning many, and ticks, of course, are little blood-sucking creatures. So politics, many blood-sucking creatures. Time to realise that, folks. And what this is now about, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of my own concern, and my concern for the many people who listen to the show, who've listened to broadcasts that I've done over the years, who have purchased Neem from Cathy McMahon, my partner, the people whom we feel are part of the community attached to GulaFuture.com, Neemwell.com, and BreakForNews.com. We're concerned about spiritual growth. We're concerned about protecting those whom we love in these particular times. And we are not prepared to waste our time on blood-sucking creatures any longer. And the act of resisting this process is to come fully alive as a human being yourself and to protect and safeguard that aliveness within yourself. And our key objective is to provide you with the information and education as to the really important issues and getting into some true insights as opposed to wasting our time on the issue of politics. I'll give you an illustration of how useless politics is, and indeed how useless media may be in many respects, certainly the organised mainstream media. Cathy and I ran an organisation here in Ireland called Men's Aid, and its objective was to provide a suicide prevention counselling service. At the time we launched the service, just before the new millennium, there were around 500 suicides per year in Ireland. The vast majority of those were males. And we attempted to do something about that. What we ended up doing was we ended up stopping doing what we were doing, which was campaigning for funding in order to properly prevent suicides taking place, doing radios, doing actual support work on the end of a telephone with suicidal individuals, going to see the government officials, looking for funding, etc., etc. And we eventually stopped doing that work because it was counterproductive. Now, you might be a bit puzzled as to how that kind of work could end up being counterproductive. But all that happened was, the more we spoke about the issue of suicide and how important it was, the more fucking blood-sucking creatures came out of the fucking woodwork from the bureaucratic systems and began to take on and espouse our aims and hand out big jobs to their friends with nice salaries, company cars, offices, etc., etc. We were simply acting as a recruiting sergeant for the fucking bureaucracy. We were adding to the problem by campaigning on the issue. We dropped it. We got smart. And that's exactly what's going to happen in relation to all these issues. You may think you're going to make progress, but what you'll actually do is be subsumed into the system, regurgitated, translated, and reappear as yet more bureaucracy. Yet more of the same. That's the way it works. Politics is dead. So where do we go from here? Well, spirituality, true awareness of what's going on the planet, understanding of where we came from, realization of the junk science and junk social ideologies that are around us, and examining the nature of that junk and determining what are better systems and how we could go about implementing those, but mostly doing all that as a community of aware people, not as a group who are attempting to go out through the mechanism of politics and change society, because that's not going to happen. What's going to change society is rivers of blood. And if these people want to go along and participate in all this madness, let them at it. Let them at it. Experience will teach them what happens when you play this evil game. And they will learn the hard way, and it won't be the first time they've learned the hard way, but I suspect it may be the last. Because this lesson is going to be big. So what we'll do is we'll safeguard ourselves and we'll safeguard our future. And if this is too tough a message for you, then that's no problem. I'm sure there's something good on the television. And if this isn't too tough a message for you, then take this last message on board for tonight. Get rid of your television. Bring it out in the backyard and kick it around. Maybe it deserves it. After all, it's landed you in this shit. You turn that thing off. There's nothing coming off of that isn't evil. Believe me. Now, there's an awful lot of truth that we're aware of. Truth which doesn't need to be posed as opposition to anything. Not anti-anything, not truth to fight against something else, but simply truth. Truth itself. Truth about a whole range of issues, health issues, scientific issues, issues with relation to the spiritual nature of this experience that we're in. Issues that are important. And that will be our focus from now on. Is a broad education and information on a whole range of truths, because we're living in a great big lie. And the internet has had one benefit: it has enabled us to get in touch with some of the realities of what's going on around us. But of course, long before the internet ever came on the scene, many aware human beings were in touch with some of the most important truths. And bear in mind that even now, despite the so-called free society, 90% of what you read on the internet is fake. But just before I go, there's one last thing I need to do. And partly this will prove that what I've been saying all along is right. And it will also indicate that despite all this, I still have a sense of humour. It doesn't mean that we lose our sense of humour, that we lose our balance as human beings. Absolutely not. It just means that we've had enough of the blood-sucking creatures. And here's a little story, I think, that illustrates perfectly what I'm saying. This came from Larry, by the way. Thanks very much, Larry. A powerful senator dies after a prolonged illness. His soul arrives in heaven and is met by St. Peter at the entrance. "Welcome to heaven," says St. Peter. "Before you settle in, however, there seems to be a problem. We seldom see a high official around these parts, you see, so we're not sure what to do with you." "Oh, that's no problem," says the senator. "Just let me in." "Well, I'd like to, but I've got orders from higher up." "What we'll do is have you spend one day in hell and one in heaven, and then you can choose where to spend eternity." "Oh, look, I've made my mind up already," says the senator. "I want to be in heaven." "Well, I'm sorry," says St. Peter, "but we have our rules." And with that, St. Peter escorts him to the elevator, and he goes down, down, down to hell. The doors open, and he finds himself in the middle of a green golf course. In the distance is a club, and standing in front of it are all his friends and other politicians who'd worked with him. Everyone's very happy and in evening attire. They run to greet him, they hug him, reminisce about the good times they had while getting rich at the expense of the people. They play a friendly game of golf, and then they dine on lobster and caviar. Also present is the devil, who's a really friendly guy, who has a good time dancing and telling jokes. They're having such a good time that before he realizes it, it's time to go. Everyone gives him a big hug and waves while the elevator rises. And the elevator goes up, 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 and the door reopens on heaven, where St. Peter's waiting for him. "Now it's time to visit heaven," says St. Peter. So 24 hours pass, with the senator joining a group of contented souls, moving from cloud to cloud, playing the harp and singing. They have a good time. Before he realizes it, the 24 hours have gone, and St. Peter returns. "Well then, you've spent a day in hell and another in heaven. Now choose your eternity." He reflects for a minute, and then the senator answers, "Well, I'd never have said it. I mean, heaven's been delightful, but I think I'd be better off in hell." So St. Peter escorts him to the elevator, and he goes down, down, down to hell. The doors of the elevator open, and he's in the middle of a barren land covered with waste and garbage. He sees all his friends, dressed in rags, picking up the trash and putting it in black bags. The devil comes over.
I don't understand, says the senator. Yesterday I was here. It was a golf course and a club, and we ate lobster and caviar and danced and had a great time. Now all there is a wasteland full of garbage, and my friends here look miserable.
The devil looks at him and smiles and says, well, yesterday we were campaigning. Today you voted for us. For a break for news.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting. See you tomorrow.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? And where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard rains are gonna fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son? And what did you see, my darling young one? I saw a newborn baby with wild wolves all around it. I saw highway diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers a-bleeding. I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. I saw guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's a hard rains are gonna fall. Oh, what did you hear, my blue-eyed son? And what did you hear, my darling young one? I heard the sound of a thunder that roared out a warning. I heard the roar of a wave that could drown the whole world. I heard 100 drummers whose hands were a-blazing. I heard 10,000 whispering and nobody listening. I heard one person starve, I heard many people laughing. I heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter. I heard the sound of a clown who cried in the alley. And it's a hard rains are gonna fall.